What's going on? This is Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed, and you're listening to Stan, Ro, and Camus on the SGP podcast. Shut up, Camus!
Are you ready?
Corn on the beat!
You're listening to the SGP podcast.
Welcome to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP podcast. Stan C. Romaran and Chino Liao sounding the best we've ever had.
Oh my God.
In quite a while.
I can hear myself clearly.
The quality is night and day. Yes.
Oh, okay. Ibang iba. We haven't sounded this crisp, frankly, since we left Melo at the end of 2016.
Mm, tata.
3 years.
Yeah, it's been three years.
Oh my
since
God.
We actually recorded in a proper studio. So we're back in a studio in the heart of Ortigas Center.
Yep. By the time you hear this episode, you will probably already have seen a video I'm uploading via the smart the podcast account.
Yeah. So there's that. And the reason for this is we have gotten in touch with some lovely people who are more than happy, more than willing, and more than keen to get the podcast and give us a push, give us a rocket strap.
Rocket strapped.
Yeah. So are we telling the people who we've gotten in touch with?
Yes, because we owe it to them.
Yeah.
We're dropping
this news now?
Let's drop next week.
All right.
We have two bits of news to drop.
All right. Okay.
Okay, let's start with number one. Number one is that we have signed a contract with our friends at Podcast Network Asia.
Hey.
And Podcast Network Asia is going to be helping the podcast in terms of production, post-prod, promotions, analytics, and all that other technical stuff.
Basically, yung mga hindi namin kaya.
These are things we've been actually
doing. Yeah, for sure. But then it's always nicer to have other people do it for us, you know, to help us out.
Absolutely.
Special shout out to my good friend, Ryan Cardenas. He is someone I worked with as far back as the Melo days. He was one of our proteges. He's since gone on to have a time slot on Like FM. Then after that, after that stint, he's now here at Podcast Asia, and he's actually the guy manning everything production-wise right now. So he's kind of like our heel producer, Jim.
Yeah,
so Ryan is our heel producer, Jim.
Ryan can chime in whenever he wants.
Yeah, pretty much. So there, that is the first bit of news. The second bit of news we'll probably save for the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, that's the most exciting news I like to drop.
Yeah. Just to be clear, this isn't about the guests, right?
No.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Let me tell you a bit. Let me tease you. Let me give you more reasons, and let me tease you for our future episodes. Next week, we've already booked our guest, and he is none other than the beautiful one.
Hey.
Former campeon ng Pilipinas, beautiful Billy Suede. He will be our first guest at the new studio.
Is finally back as well. I know you guys have missed him. We have missed him as well.
Yeah.
I've never met him, so.
Oh, yeah. Now you will. You'll find out the charm and the wit of the beautiful one.
Yeah, you'll find out why we love him so much, why I drove all the way from Las Piñas to fucking see him and have dinner and drinks after PWR Live Beautiful. Speaking of PWR Live Beautiful, that is one of our agenda for today. Chino is here to review the show.
Hey, that's right.
Yeah, he's got some thoughts about that. And it was a very action-packed weekend, but we kept saying this on Smart Henry. Now, it was the most wrestling-filled weekend that we could ask for.
When they say never miss a show, this was your opportunity to never miss a single show because you had three of them going on.
Back to back
over the weekend.
Yeah, so the biggest one obviously was Friday, WWE in Manila. You had the SmackDown crew roll in, headlined by Kofi Kingston, the WWE champion, and Daniel Bryan. And I think all of us have our own little stories about WWE Manila.
No, let's start with Chino because we sent his ass to...
Me and Camus, who is still reeling from his encounter with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, ooh, you can imagine how much bodily fluids he lost.
Has anyone seen his stories right after
he
that?
He jizzed so hard, he's been out for two days.
No, he didn't even jizz. He cried his ass out.
Oh, he cried from both ends.
He jizzed and cried his ass out.
He had up none.
He cried while jizzing.
Yes.
So that's Andy Samberg.
He was so incapacitated from meeting his hero that he has not been seen over the weekend.
That's pretty much like El Generico.
Oh yeah, pretty much, right?
Speaking of El Generico, you met Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens.
Yes, we did meet Kevin Owens and Ali. Well, we didn't meet in person.
But you were in, like, the same room.
We were in the same room. We got to breathe the same air,
yeah,
essentially. And we got to talking to them about their life as WWE superstars, you know, both in and out of the ring. I got to ask them a few questions,
mm-hmm,
Ali particularly about his faith.
Yeah.
And about his representation, and his answer, which you will see in a future episode of the pod, was actually one of the most inspiring things I've ever heard.
I think I got to read an excerpt of that from Migsliato's coverage on smartkenny.ph. So he did take the biggest sound bites from the actual press conference. What were the highlights for you, aside from Ali's answer regarding his Muslim faith?
Yeah, and a lot of questions were asked of Kevin Owens' status in the WWE. Storyline-wise, we know that he's no longer a SmackDown superstar, but we also know that he's soon Shane McMahon, so questions were asked,
yeah,
on where he would end up in the future, which brand. He remained mum about it, of course, as is normal. I feel like the biggest thing, though, is to see how professionally they carry themselves.
Mm-hmm. In the face of what?
In the face of a lot of stupid questions.
Yeah, so there was one particularly stupid question and when I kwento sa akin, I was like, this guy did not even deserve the media pass.
You were burying the opponents right,
okay,
now.
Because here's how it went down. A guy from a non-wrestling affiliated media outlet, a mainstream media outlet, raises his hand and asks Kevin Owens, who was in a Special Olympics shirt, if he was a Special Olympics athlete.
And what's happening?
We're allowed to cuss, right?
Yeah. Journalistic integrity right there, folks. Jeez. Journalistic.
What did Kevin Owens say?
Normal people would actually be insulted by the question.
Okay, let's not use the word normal. Let's use people who don't have special needs.
Yeah, okay. People, okay, you took it there, Stan, but fine. People without any disabilities would actually feel insulted.
Take offense naman. They would be read the wrong way.
They would take that the wrong way. But Kevin Owens actually carried it in such a way that he just brushed the question off.
All right.
He answered without answering the actual question. He redirected his answer to saying how inspirational the Special Olympics were.
Total babyface move.
Yes, a total babyface move. Very good corporate training on their end. Even when the guy repeated the question to him.
He did?
He did. He reconfirmed. So
unbelievable.
So the reporter...
How dare you?
So the reporter was like, sorry again, Kevin, what event did you play? In the middle of answering his question. And Kevin was just the calmest, the most perfect example on how to carry yourself in such a media interview.
And this is a man who was once not had a filter on Twitter.
Yes. It was so good to see how professional and how charming he remained even after such a question.
Hindi ko alam kung kung snarky ba tong reporter or kung sadyang bobo lang siya talaga.
Feeling ko tanga lang siya.
God, the rule. I mean, I forgot what the law was, but if you can ascribe it to stupidity instead of malice, it's probably stupidity.
Oh, so you know what? No, I'm not ready to make that kind of joke here.
All right, fine. Then don't.
Yeah, I'm gonna rein myself
guys,
back in.
Day one pa lang tayo, bakit di tayo umabot ang day two?
That's why I had to rein myself back in. Sorry, Camus, you don't get to make it to day two.
Sorry.
No, okay, so I just gotta say this. I love the folks at Centaur Marketing. They're the fine people.
No, they are awesome.
Who pulled this in, who helped us.
Shout out to Mikers.
Yeah, shout out to Mikers Litton for helping us get into that media room, both
for getting Chino
for the podcast yes. and for the website. But yeah, I do hope these people who don't know any better can be vetted out in the future. Because it's insulting to the business, number one.
Exactly. Even though you don't have to know a lot about wrestling to attend a wrestling media day.
That's true. Okay?
You just have to learn enough to know to not sound stupid.
Yeah, pangalawa, respect the people.
Yes.
Napaka-bastos nung tanong na, hey, you're wearing a Special Olympic shirt, so are you a special athlete?
Our friend of the podcast, Kel Fabi, asked me if Ricky Law was there.
No, he was not.
He was not
but
there.
the guy did a Ricky Law job, so you don't need him there.
Sobrang bad trip. I'm sorry. Were there any highlights worth talking about? Any others?
No, that's about it. Well, besides Camus meeting Sami Zayn.
Yeah, please.
Besides, I wasn't there, so I can't really tell the story.
You left early, so you weren't able to.
Which was my mistake.
Yeah.
Because a few minutes later, as everybody was just filing out and hanging out, our good friend, Hub Pacheco, actually ran into a few of them. Bailey. He had a picture with Bailey.
Kofi Kingston.
Big E.
Yeah.
I did see Big E in person, though. Didn't get to ask for a photo. But he, when they say Big E, man, he is really big.
Huge. Yeah, he's huge.
He's a huge jack guy, which makes his athletic ability all the more impressive.
Let me jump off from Big E and give another shout-out to two people. First of all, Mike Yap, and next to Boyet, who were both wearing MSG shirts at freaking ringside at WWE in Manila.
Hey.
And when I say Boyd, you know who I'm talking about. The number one draft pick, surefire Hall of Famer, blue chipper prospect, Boyet, was there taking a photo with Big E, and it was actually immortalized on WWE.com. And Mike Yap from Manila Concert Scene. So they were repping MSG pretty hard at the show. Shout out to them. Shout out to all the fans who went
also
up and
your
said
boys.
Hi.
Your boys, Balibagan, they were also there.
Yeah, well, pretty much everyone from the wrestling community who could afford a ticket or who had access to a ticket was there.
I've seen people who I haven't seen in a long time up for a WWE show.
I actually saw our good friend Ruthless Miguel Rosales, who's back in the country.
Me too.
Yeah, so I ran into him as I was on my way out with my dad, so I got to introduce him to my dad. So that's pretty cool. Welcome back to Migs, by the way.
Special shout out to Tetsuo Tim, who's one of your young boys and actually one of the avid listeners to this spot. I've been seeing him all over, especially during WWE Live in Manila.
Let's talk about WWE in Manila because I didn't get to see the entire show, but I had quite the story myself. So the reason why I was out pretty much the entire weekend and why I wasn't at PWR Live Beautiful is
because you ate Chopo that is bad for you.
Aside from that, I actually got booked by Disney. Southeast Asia.
We got bought out by the mouse.
Yes.
By the mouse.
I got bought out by the mouse. I sold my soul to the mouse. No, I'm kidding. I love working with Disney. They're one of my repeat clients. They're one of my repeat clients for good reason. We did an event with Baymax at Evia in Las Piñas. So there was a meet and greet, and I did like 5 runs a day for 3 days straight. And that's incredibly tiring and strenuous on your voice because you're dealing with kids. So yung energy level mo talagang dapat na pakataas.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, so I came from there, from Evia Las Piñas, after the very last run on Friday, which ended at
7:15. Which is technically near Cavite, right?
Yeah.
It's all the way at the end, at the very end
of MCX.
Of Las Piñas.
Yes, so nasa tabi na siya ng Bacoor.
Yes.
So isipin niyo pinanggalingan ko, 7:20, nagpaalam ako sa mga taga-Disney. I got in my car, sped through the skyway without breaking the speed limit, made my way down to EDSA, traffic, malamang Friday night, umuulan, di ba? Mm-hmm. Sabi ko, baka umabot pa ako ng Paragon, doon ako magpa-park, take the bus or take the train. No, dude, by 8, my dad is texting me, first match, Owens versus Andrade.
Mm-hmm.
Taka na, my heart sank. I was like, you know what, fuck it, let me get off the nearest exit, which was Ayala. Went to Glorieta, parked my car, ran from Glorieta basement parking to SM Makati, squeezed myself into an MRT full of people. And, you love this part, I managed to get a seat.
Na-timingan ko.
Yeah. Puno siya, pero na-timingan ko, may tumayo. Sabi, upo ako agad.
Okay.
Sat there, got to Araneta, which it was a very slow train ride, right?
Yep.
Made it to Araneta, ran, made it in time for intermission. So there, that was my story. There was another guy who's a local fan. His name is Boy Wonder, who greeted me at the turnstile. And he was so excited to meet me. And sabi ko, bud, can you just let me cross the turnstile first? Because I kind of want to get in the venue and take a piss. So, you know, he was super excited and all that. The wrestling fans, they've all come out in droves. Just the night before, I was hosting a wedding naman. And you know how when you host or when you talk, yung mga wrestling references mo, nandun na siya in your speech because you just bring them out all the time? So without even thinking about it, nung wine ceremony, nung wedding, I was like, You know, life's always better with a little bit of the bubbly. So I bust that out. And someone from the audience actually liked it. There were a couple of people who were like, over dinner, they were like, hey, I got that Chris Jericho AEW reference. So that was pretty cool.
That's good.
Yeah, so, during the Disney event, I would bust out, are you ready? I said, are you ready? And just to hype up the kids.
Did you tell them to suck it?
No, no. No. Of course not.
Seriously?
I mean, doon na pupunta eh.
No, I haven't made him a registered sex offender.
Yeah. Also, are you ready does not directly lead to let's get ready to suck it. Ibang spiel yun. So there, that was my wrestling weekend. Ikaro, any special highlights from your WWE Manila weekend?
No, I mean, I was sitting with the Smart Henry guys, and then Lance Tan Ong, our resident bread hater, was going apeshit for Roman Reigns. I don't know if you ever seen his video in which he is going crazy for Roman Reigns, but he did not stop until the very end. But that's about it. Like you guys, I saw a bunch of people that I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
It's obviously a good way to bring everyone together.
Also, a lot of the PWR wrestlers were at the show.
Yeah, JDL was at the show looking for R-Truth. Good way to generate content for any page, right?
Oh, to be fair, pinansin siya ni R-Truth.
Oh, pinansin niya siya ni R-Truth.
Yes, and Drake Maverick.
And yeah. Ken Warren didn't hold R-Truth down for his partner. So good job, Ken Warren, for being a upstanding partner there.
Shout out, by the way, to all the PWR guys as well, both the boot campers and the main roster people who gave out flyers at the venue.
Yeah, a lot of flyers were given out.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so a quick backstory there. Red Oliero and I actually watched WWE in Singapore in 2015. And we noticed the SPW guys giving out flyers right after the show. So that was my first exposure to SPW. Like, I didn't know Sina Andrew Tang, Sina Trexus at the time. And I just saw that guerrilla marketing strategy. Talked to Red about it. And then the following year when WWE came, we were like, let's do this. And 3 years later, inulit natin yung strategy. And I'd like to think na it kind of raised a bit of awareness for PWR Live Homecoming, which is on October 12. Tickets are available, by the way, at tickettome.net. So go ahead and get your tickets right there. We do hope that we were able to get a little bit of the market that WWE has among the mainstream fans.
Yeah, that's true. I think there were some guys who did pick up on it and were interested. Sana naman, at least the name recognition of TJP would have been enough for the whole thing, to get them to go to Homecoming as well. What did you guys think of the actual show, though?
Well, I was only there for half of it, but yung three matches that I caught were pretty fun. Mm-hmm. It was Bayley Charlotte in a street fight, then New Day versus The Revival, which I really enjoyed. I was telling my dad, because my dad had no idea who Dash and Dawson were. Mm-hmm. I was like, you better watch for these guys because napakagaling nila. And it wasn't the galing that I was expecting, na very technical, cut the ring in half,
no.
Smash Mouth wrestling type of shit. But it was a different kind of galing in the way that they engage the crowd.
Yes, I have actually had the opportunity to watch The Revival in a previous live show in the U.S. They were doing a live show for NXT back then in Las Vegas in a much smaller arena. This was about 300 seaters, maybe at the very most, and only a handful of people showed up because it was a smaller promotion in NXT. But the way Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson engaged the crowd, how they would heckle them and they would heckle back, it was just, it was excellent crowd work on their part. It kept you engaged without having to rely so much on the wrestling.
To be honest with you, they didn't actually need the crowd work because if you were there at the very beginning, from the moment Andrade came out for the first match, the crowd was in the wrestler's palms. They didn't need to do anything at all to get the crowd going. And it was so crazy because some people will tell you na before the show it wasn't much hype because it's SmackDown tapos
yeah there weren't any big
names weren't
you counted to Roman or Daniel
no,
Bryan
no you'll hear na okay, like where are the guys
Roman a lot of people were saying Roman Reigns was the only big name to be part of the show, which is yes, sure. I understand Daniel Bryan is Daniel Bryan, but not a lot of people really know who he is.
Yeah, I'm sure
in this current state of the WWE,
I'm sure people were looking for guys like Chris Jericho,
John Cena,
or Randy Orton, the biggest names on the roster, talaga. But even then, without those guys, the entire crowd was hot from the get go, and I was amazed because. If you were there for the first match, Kevin Owens and Andrade spent like the first couple of minutes doing nothing and pandering to the crowd. They were just hyping the crowd up.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even start in a tie up or anything. talagang,
it took a while for them to get the match started.
Yeah, and despite that, everyone was still hot. Compare that, I guess, if you see that at a local show, you might not get the same reaction.
Yeah, so I just had a lot of fun being there, to be honest with you. I mean, yung smarky side, I kind of turned it off and just enjoyed the experience. And it helped that I was with my dad, who is by no means a smart.
But I will say this, though. I will say this, and I'm going to pimp the local scene a little bit. Even though the wrestlers of the local scene aren't as experienced as the guys in the WWE, of course, because they've had years and years of experience under their belts. And even though we are nowhere near them in skill, I think you get a lot more for your money when you watch PWR, even MWF, everyone who is doing busting their ass in the Philippines just to try to bring wrestling to our home country.
Well, I don't know about you, but my tickets were free. So.
Yeah, I know. You freaking cheapskate.
Shout out to Centaur Marketing. Yeah. So that's value for money, right?
Yeah,
there.
It's value for money kasi libre. Pero alam mo yun, parang to me, I just felt like, okay, I spent money, unlike Chino, because Chino was smart enough to wait for free tickets.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it to the show.
Sure. But you were about to spend.
Yeah, I was about to buy tickets. So it was fortunate enough for myself and Camus. We were fortunate enough to be part of the media day.
So just let it not be said that Chino is not estafador levels of cheap.
Wow. Yes. Whoa. Yeah, that's about it. You're not. No, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, your family has money.
Yes.
Actual money. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you are a wrestling fan and you really want wrestling, you want to watch wrestling live, but you know you're sad that the WWE doesn't come every year. Please do give your local promotions a chance because they are busting their butts month in and month out just to put on a show that's worth watching. And I'm gonna tell you, there is a lot more action you can see unfold right in front of you when you go to such a show than when you just saw at WWE Manila.
You know, a great example would be PWR Homecoming, which is again on October 12th, 7 p.m. at the ABS-CBN Virtus tent. Get your tickets now. One last bit on WWE Manila was how surprising it was to see certain people there, lalo na yung mga high-profile celebrities. Like I had Jimmy Alapag in my row. Jimmy Alapag and his kids and his driver were basically right next to me. Right behind me was our friend of the podcast, Joaquin Mendoza of Pinoy Big Brother fame. And among his group of friends na hindi niya pinakilala sa akin was a certain former senator who was wearing a Bullet Club shirt, not rocking his signature glasses, and sporting a porn stash.
Wow, porn stash talaga. Hindi man lang goatee.
No, it was a mustache. No, but the senator in question, or the former senator in question, was former Senator Bam Aquino, who I'm actually a fan
of. See, now we're difficult to get him on the show because he said his name.
I mean, I
we still had an out, Stan.
I took his picture without even knowing it. So like I would have had a total markout moment. Pero alam mo, sobrang pagod na ako from the day. I just wanted to get in the car with my dad and go back to my car in Makati. And sina Waki, they were taking a picture and my dad was like, "Oh, hey, go take their picture." And then as we were walking out, my dad was like, "Feel ko si Bam Aquino yun." I'm like, "Come on, Dad. Don't be ridiculous. It's not Bam Aquino." And then I look at social media and Mendoza tags Bam Aquino.
Okay. I thought you found out in one of our chats.
Yes, that too. And I fucking lost my shit. I was like, what the fuck? Bam Aquino's right behind me. So yeah, if there's anybody who's connected directly to the good former senator, please do let him know that I'm a fan and I would love to have him here on the podcast.
And we apologize for Chino Liao.
Yeah, we apologize for Chino Liao's off-color joke.
Yeah, you had an out.
No.
No, there was there was no way out of that off-color and totally inappropriate joke.
You said the name.
No, you sick fuck.
Now it's done. Wala na.
Jeez. All right, well, there's more to talk about. Si Bongo
fan ng WWE.
Hard pass. Hard pass. All right, we're going to give Chino a bit of time to compose himself and try to be a little bit more appropriate because in just a few seconds, we're going to be recording our review of PWR Live Beautiful, and it's going to be right here on the freshly crisp sounding SGP podcast.
What's up, guys? This is Mr. Athletic Jeff Cobb, and you're listening to the SGP Podcast.
It's time for us to review PWR Live Beautiful, which took place last Sunday, September 22 at Shaw 500. So, Chino, let's talk about the venue because I think that's an elephant in the room we cannot ignore.
Can we talk about the expectations that I have first?
There you go. Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, by elephant, did you mean me, first
no.
of all?
Or, no, dude. Okay. Come on.
A different elephant this time.
Okay. So, had expectations coming into the show, mm-hmm. particularly because it takes place before PWR Homecoming.
So basically go home shows.
Yes, exactly. And we know how all these go home shows proceed, right? They always either phone it in or do a really good job. Okay. But it's never middle ground.
Really?
You know, okay. That's how I feel.
That's new to me.
That's how I feel.
Are you referring to PWR lang or WWE and other promotions then?
WWE as a product has that reputation of having, you know, lackluster go-home shows.
Okay. It's okay.
Like you can miss the Raw before a main pay-per-view or any pay-per-view for that matter.
Yeah.
And still get everything that's happening in the pay-per-view. You know, it isn't as catalyzing as you want it to be.
Yeah,
for example, you know. So I wanted to know how PWR is going to react, especially after this, especially before rather this big show that's happening on October 12th. So that's the one curiosity, which leads me into talking about the venue, 500 Shaw, not the most ideal place for. Oh, basically anything.
Far from it, son.
Basically,
you can be frank, Chino. This is, I think this is one aspect that you can be pretty brutal.
You know, I mean,
it's not ideal for a lot of things,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Especially wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
We know what problems the crew encountered in the previous show held at 500 Shaw.
That was the infamous show where every member of the roster, even me, we all literally lifted the ring from point A to point B. And it was an assembled ring.
Thanks.
And I saw them take that ring apart. I know how heavy it is.
Yeah, sure.
It's wood and metal and ropes.
I mean, it takes a village.
Yeah,
it literally took the company.
Literally
carrying that ring.
It was insane. So having faced that problem, I kind of expected the crew behind the show to sort of apply the Murphy's Law to this scenario. Seeing that 500 Shaw literally is very prone to, you know, problems and logistical nightmares such as this. Of course, this venue might be cursed. I think you guys need to sage it and have a prayer thing go down and fucking hire the Ghostbusters all at once just to protect your product, because this last show was not without its shortcomings.
Right.
Okay. Anything else you want to get into before we get into it?
All of the things that I failed to, I won't say right now, we will get into it further as we go down the card.
So you want to start with the matches?
Yes,
now?
Start with the matches. With our first pre-show match being Gatillo versus Brad Cruz.
Okay.
Gatillo, or was it Dax who called out Brad Cruz, or was it Gatillo who called out Brad Cruz?
I think Dax speaks for Gatillo.
Yeah, so
that might be the thing.
All right, because Gatillo doesn't have a mouth. Okay, yeah. So
at least not one we can see.
Yeah, not a visible one. Props to Gatillo for making quick work of Brad Cruz so that his boss, Dax, can actually finish the latest issue of Trece in the comfort of his own, I don't know, chair.
Kala ko, Wattpad yung binabasa niya.
It's actually a good book. I've read it myself, I can understand how captivating the book was and how he couldn't be bothered to watch his henchman take care of Brad Cruz. Well, I will say Brad Cruz's Toron is 15 pesos. That's 5 pesos more than an SM.
Yep. That is really bad.
Ang kapal na mukha mo, Brad Cruz.
15 pesos for one Toron.
In English mo lang, 15 pesos la.
Oh, ano English? Caramelized banana?
Caramelized banana spring roll. And it's 15 pesos. Ano saging ginamit mo dyan, Brad Cruz?
Imported saging.
Our next pre-show match is Sam Baltazar showing off his wares against Revo Ranger. Now, I will say, I've spoken to Revo Ranger a few times after his show, particularly this one.
Yeah.
And he was asking me how the crowd reaction was after they did their match. I had to be a friend at the time and say that it was okay. There was a reaction. But as I think back to it now, I feel like the reaction, while it was there, was very, very sporadic.
Okay.
Like, it was just bursts of cheers and jeers and counts, especially when they pulled off the Cesaro swing, the giant swing,
mm-hmm.
right? But all in all, I feel like this venue, the acoustics of it, and the lighting, and the sound, all affected all the matches on the card. This one is an exception to that. The match itself was pretty good. I feel like the greatest intangible skill the Revo Ranger has is his positive outlook. His optimism, it always rubs off of the other person.
Yeah.
So that it also makes them perform as good as he's been doing. You know? So all in all, I feel like because even despite the lack of a reaction, they still went out there and they still did their job. And I think that's commendable.
Yeah, it's not their fault, you might, is what you're saying.
Yes.
There wasn't a reaction.
Yeah, they did their job. They did their best.
Okay.
So what? How else can you fault them?
So yeah, I wasn't there at Beautiful, so I wanted to know, was there like a pre-show video like right before the main card, or was it, I mean, OBB and the reminders?
Despite the usual Super P how to watch a wrestling show announcement video, there weren't really any video shown.
Okay.
We'll get into that down the ways.
Because
the setup of this show was very different.
Yeah, it also started late. Like, I'm not even going to hide that fact. It started late, and it was because the lights and sounds people got there late.
Yeah, see, I was going to say that apart from having the whole 500 show venue, it was cut in half, this show.
Yeah, yeah.
They also didn't have access to a proper stage,
right,
which meant that the videos had to be shown on an LED projector screen.
Yeah.
Which I felt cheapened the product a lot. Because we were so used to having a giant screen,
right,
or giant LEDs showing off the product, diba? We've been so used to the Power Mac Spotlight Theater that to go back to something where you have to just show it on an LED screen, while it gives it the homey look, it cheapens the product. It cheapens the production value.
Right.
Here's a question for you, Chino, and maybe for you then, Roan. Has it been PWR's fault that we spoiled our fans? Or have we spoiled our fans to a fault? Nah, ganyan na yung response if it's a venue that is not on the same level as Power Mac.
Yeah, I think we spoiled them. I think that, but to be fair, Power Mac is a venue that the fans deserve. And I think that there was no choice talaga, I think. There was no excusing the fact that Power Mac isn't available for this month. And there's just no hiding it. There's just no excusing the... I mean, ganun talaga eh. Wala talaga magagawa dun eh.
Right. So, I
can't really fault the fans for feeling this way as well. Because, diba, like Ro said, it's what they deserve.
Yeah, it really is what they
deserve. We've gone through our share of horrible venues for a PWR.
It's not like we gave them a horrible venue.
Yes.
Just to give them a horrible venue. It really is because there is no choice.
It was beyond. It was circumstances beyond their control.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted this. They got what they had at the time, and they just made the best out of it.
Let me ask, I feel
is commendable.
I want to ask you this, Gina, though. Would you rather that we skipped having the show instead of having it at 500 show? I mean, or for the next one, if it were to
you
happen.
You mean in hindsight?
No, I guess. Or for the next one, if it so happens that we can't book Power Mac and we can't book anything else other than 500
show. Yeah, I feel like it's better to double down on the next show than to settle for something like this.
Fair.
Because it makes the product even better. It makes the fans miss it more.
Okay.
Isaiah, wala PWR show ngayon, Maui tayo next month. Diba?
Okay.
Diba? And yes, you might encounter some loss, but the end result will still prove that maganda yung product nyo, it deserves the platform that it has now.
That's fair.
And it needs to be produced, it needs to be put on in a place that's deserving of the quality.
Okay.
I get that. I think that's a fair criticism about, I guess, the scheduling and the logistics of everything.
Yeah.
I guess in hindsight din, ang hirap eh, kasi the way that the stories were mapped out, it was written with a September show in mind.
And like, October show in mind.
And an October show in mind, yeah. Na we really needed a September show para maitawid yung Renaissance stories into Homecoming. Parang layo eh, di ba? Like, yeah. Looking at the Homecoming card now, where we are narrative-wise is quite a ways away from where we were at Renaissance.
Yeah, that's why I asked na lang, not in hindsight, but for the next time nga, if ever we have to book, if ever our only choice left is 500 Shaw.
I guess, yeah, kung meron pang wiggle room, diba, we can probably work on it in such a way that we don't need to have that buffer show in a non-Power Mac venue.
Hey, yeah.
Or something that's at least of equal worth.
Yeah,
diba,
that's true. That's true.
The Power Mac spotlight. Kasi magandang venue siya, but I'm sure that there are other venues out there who have the same level of quality as the Power Mac spotlight.
Sounds fair.
Yeah. Right. All right. Okay. Let's get into the main card. The first match was my guys MSG taking on the Kakai Bros.
We're actually skipping a match here.
Oh, we are. Okay. My bad.
Sorry. Di pa na,
no, you're not.
Yeah.
I skipped ahead.
I'm
sorry.
Pretty sure the first main card match was MSG card versus match Kakai Bros.
Was the Kakai Bros taking on MSG for the PWR Tag Team Championships. We saw what happened to Mr. C, kayfabe. Kumayat siya ng panis na siopaw, basically.
Hindi siya panis.
Or poisoned siopaw.
Yes, it was contaminated.
It was tainted by the ball sack sweat.
Okay, because basically, I just went through food poisoning as proof of my eye right now.
So, na-trigger ka ba?
So, audio format to. So, hindi nyo napansin na puleng-puleng yung mata ko ngayon.
Chino's eye is red for some reason.
It's bloodshot.
We don't even know how food poisoning ties into that eye.
But you know what?
Try puking 10 times consecutively and then you get back to me after that.
You know what?
I still don't know.
Some old superstitious lola or tita would probably say, yan, kakaporno mo yun eh. Manyakis ka eh.
Di ba kirat yun? That's what happened.
Fuck, I don't know, dude.
So anyway.
Did you look like a tita to you?
So anyway, yeah. MSG started things off with some unsavory tactics, which gave them the advantage for most of the match. However, again, with the venue, it didn't get the desired outcome that it deserved. Like, it deserved more heat on their part.
Mm-hmm.
It needed more of that drama to captivate the audiences more. Last 500 Shaw show I reviewed, I remember criticizing the matches for being way too short and way too hurried.
Mm-hmm.
This time around, I don't feel like the wrestlers did that. They actually took their time to tell the story. And for the most part, I feel like the stories were told in as efficiently a manner as they could have in that moment.
Okay.
However, crowd reaction is a lot in wrestling,
that's
right?
True.
It's such an interactive art form that if people don't react to what you're doing in the ring, how else are you going to know if it's effective or not,
mm-hmm.
right? So I feel like throughout this card, and it's like beating a dead horse here, this will be the problem that a lot of the wrestlers encounter. It's how to elicit that reaction, that effect from the crowd as the night progresses on.
Here's a question for you. What did you think about the promise of MSG All Belts not being fulfilled?
I was actually concerned that Panzer might win it. No offense to Sandata or Main Max,
mm-hmm.
but I had a feeling that they were not going to win the belts this time around. The Kakai Bros have been pretty much unstoppable as tag team champions. I don't see them. They've faced such adversity from so many random teams. They faced a team from Australia, and they came out on top.
Yeah, that's true.
So I feel like they're a near-perfect tag team right now. They're so hard to beat. So good luck to the Yolo Twins, who are going to try that out for Homecoming.
All right, let's get to the next match then.
It's Nina versus Jay Sarah. Just a random exhibition match, I guess.
I'm not so sure because Nina, that's basically her second match on the main card. And then Jay Serra, she was coming off a huge win against Crystal at Renaissance.
And coming off that huge moonsault off of Championship Spirit. Diba? Maganda yung momentum niya. And unfortunately, her momentum was stopped by Nina, who with some Santina Bros offense on her part.
Yeah.
I felt like this match had a lot riding on their friendship more than it does on their careers.
Okay.
This was friends. You know how you have a friendly competition with your friends? Mm-hmm. You try to one-up them as part of your rivalry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I feel like this was just an example of that.
Did they tell that story particularly?
That's what it came off to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it came off to me. That's how I read it. I read it as one of them challenging the other to a game of one-upsmanship.
Okay. So was that a story you liked? Or?
Yeah, and I did actually have a problem with the booking of the women's division. Because first of all, it's such a raw and young division. Buwag-buwag pa siya, kumbaga. There isn't really cohesion in the women's division. Everybody's still off doing their own thing. And nobody's really fighting for anything because they don't have a championship to compete for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A lot of the women haven't competed for the singles titles in a long time. So I feel like for this division to come together, they need to start unifying, going after one thing, which may be a title. Maybe something else.
So you know mas problema mo right now, not the seeming randomness of it all, but the fact that there is nothing to compete for.
Yeah, it's the fact that it's not really a division. It's just the beginnings of one.
Yeah.
It's just the outline of one, you know.
Okay, got it. So you'd rather that they have something to fight for.
Yes, it's a unified reason, something to chase. Something to make it, to establish it as a legitimate division.
All right. Right, next match.
And we have the Punk Dolls taking on Endgame. After Endgame jumped Martiva during the last show, his returning friend, Robin, with the punk Robin, the dark Robin, comes back.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting what she calls herself now. I'm sorry. But she comes back with a new, angrier, angstier attitude, and I have to say, throughout the match, it cost the Punk Dolls a lot of opportunities. It even cost them the win, essentially, because Robin is such a hothead now that she just lets Endgame get to her so quickly that it allows them to execute offense on Martiva so easily. I will say that at the beginning of this match, Apocalypse, who was supposed to be John Evander's partner, was actually replaced by AB3.
Oh, yeah, yun pala. You forgot to mention that.
I don't know where the Apocalypse is, but if this is going to be a permanent replacement, then good job to AB3 because he was the workhorse of the Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
He carried the load. John Evander is a schemer. Through and through. So he won't really compete as much as people would like to see him. But AB3, Apocalypse Belmonte III, really stepped up to the plate. And I really liked him. Kahit pinapatukbatuhan siya, he really tested his mettle against Martiva and Robin. Unfortunately, the Punk Dolls would lose the match kasi nga Robin is a hothead now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the bigger picture of the story is how it took a while for Martiva to get up after the finish. I don't know if he is injured or not.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate if he is. You guys have an update on that? Is he injured?
I haven't heard anything, but there is no update though.
Okay, because it took a while for him to get up and people were actually, I was beside a lot of the Hustlers, the Heckler's Row guys, and we all reacted to the same thing. Na parang takal tumayo ni Martiva, was he injured or not? We wish him a speedy recovery if he is.
All right. Next up, you had Kapitan Tutan versus Jemmerlin.
The saga of the Naughty Boys continues with Kapitan Tutan coming out. And basically, he doesn't explain himself.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes on a tirade on how wrestling lang ang iniisip ko, which I guess makes sense, diba? I can't really blame Tutan. I'm sorry if I burped into the mic, but I can't really blame Tutan for doing what he did, right? Because he's a competitor, and a competitor wants to win. Mm-hmm. That's just the basis of it, di ba?
Okay.
So he blames Trian and Evan and company for all the losses that they've incurred. He especially blames Camus because he cost them the victory from the last show.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Camus isn't here to defend himself, or we would have told him to shut up by now. But I can't really blame Cap for doing what he did. However, I will tell you that what he did after, which was call an open challenge to anybody in the back, was actually not the smartest thing to do. Because, yes, you want to prove yourself as a wrestler.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
there are people who want to kick your ass.
Exactly. So why would you give them the opportunity? Right? Said person who wants to kick his ass is actually Jemmerlin, who goes out to accept Cap's challenge.
Mm-hmm. And how did she perform? How was that story?
She did exceptionally well. She was able to execute moves I've never seen Jemmerlin do in a long while. That Wuda Wuda spot, for those JoJo fans out there, she pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
Even if, according to Camus, di daw siya nanonood ng JoJo. So good props to her. Diba? You know how in the WWE, a lot of the diva valets borrow the moves of their male counterparts?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Right? I've seen a lot of it from Jemmerlin, now how she's borrowing from Trian and ECX. And while that isn't necessarily a bad thing, I would like to see more of her own flavor injected into her own ring style.
Okay.
Right? But all in all, her performance was still very, very good.
Okay. Speaking of Trian, how was it like, or how was he being in a catatonic state on a
So we'll
in
get
a wheelchair?
To that. About partway through the show, a few matches into the show, Trian De La Torre with his new nurse girly rolls out in a wheelchair. And it was actually very bizarre to see him carry on like that, like very committed to the character being in such a distraught state. So the end of this match, which would see Capitan Tutan winning, via heel tactics, and then go on to assault Trian De La Torre, was actually very, it added flavor to the saga of the Naughty Boys. It added depth, na parang there's an implosion in this faction that people aren't necessarily expecting.
All right.
And it adds a new dimension. And I want to see how this unfolds in Homecoming with Evan Carlo and taking on Capitan Tutan. Let's see if Capitan Tutan can build off steam, diba? Off the steam of his momentum that he's supposedly lacked when he was a part of the Naughty Boys.
Okay. Next up, you have your final match before intermission. Cali Nueva taking on PHX champion Chino Ginto.
I feel like Chino underestimated Cali Nueva. It's easy to underestimate Cali Nueva because A, he hasn't really had a lot of matches in PWR. B, this is his first title. This is his first title match.
Yep.
Right? But because Chino Ginto went into this match underestimating Cali Nueva, Cali Nueva was able to pull off some ridiculous offense. He showed up and he did his high-flying thing to the best of his abilities. I'm talking about lucha-like rope springboards.
Yeah, rope bouncy stuff.
Yes. But Grand Metalik levels, diba? And then he did another 450. All of it was very beautiful. All of it was very beautiful. Unfortunately, Chino Ginto, he's been champion for so long, and now we know why. It's because he has that killer instinct. It's something Cali Nueva lacks. It's something that he has yet to develop because he doesn't have that much experience in terms of PWR activity.
Anything remarkable happened ba nung intermission?
Yeah, actually, something did happen.
What?
Si Distinct, di ba? Wasn't that part of intermission?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, so
let's get into Distinct.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay,
intermission happens. The guys come back. I will say that a lot of people left after intermission.
Okay.
I did see...
that explains it.
I actually felt the absence of people in my section.
Yeah.
I was seated towards the back where the merch booth was.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people left, which was unfortunate. Again, it wasn't a reflection of the product. It was a reflection of the venue, I feel like.
How exactly?
Kasi maganda naman yung product eh.
I mean, oh yeah, yeah, gets it.
Gets more, gets, alam mo yung pag nakatanggap ka ng regalo na maganda, but yeah, it's wrapped in such a shitty...
No, I mean like, diba? What was it about the venue? Was it cold, kasi too it, cold, what, too
the,
dark?
Yeah, the lighting was bad, okay, so okay, there was that. You could see it off of pictures you find online of the show, the sound. And this next thing we're going to talk about, I feel like it affected, oh, it was the best example of the how bad the sound was. Okay. Distinct makes his debut. If you guys don't know who Distinct is, he's a musician, mm-hmm, who looks like Unique.
Yeah.
He is a literal synonym of Unique.
Okay. Right? How ironic.
Right? How ironically hipster of him.
No, how ironic in general, because hindi na Unique si Unique.
Okay. So, Distinct comes out with a guitar and a makeshift mic stand in the form of Gab Smarty.
Okay.
Who is now his PA, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Gab Smarty. Yeah, RTD2 is the PA ng lahat now, yeah, apparently. And he starts singing, after giving Gab Smarty a flack, he starts singing a parody version of Four of Spades' Mundo.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right? Now, it's essential for people to listen to lyrics when you're singing about parodies.
Okay, okay.
You're singing parodies in general. And I feel like because the mics weren't the best quality and because the sound system didn't project it well, I couldn't hear the lyrics personally.
I actually thought he was just singing the song. I didn't know it was a parody.
I actually heard the rhythm of the song, so I knew it was Four of Spades.
Yeah, I know.
But the lyrics were actually different.
Okay.
I would pick up certain words, so I would understand how different the lyrics were. The overall message, however, was lost on me. Diba? I could be wrong. Diba? I could have just... The sound was probably so bad that I heard different words. Diba? That could be the case.
Right.
However, the point remains, the sound was bad.
Yeah, no, I can actually speak to that because I remember this one other Shaw 500 show where Doc Saviera came out and launched into a tirade on the mic and you couldn't really understand anything from Dax. Now, this is not to say that Dax mumbles a lot. He doesn't. It's just that he was talking really, really fast and screaming really, really loudly into the mic. So, nag-blast na nga siya. And then, hindi pa maganda yung quality ng sound system. So, that's to add to Chino's point.
Diba? So, when you're debuting a character who is very reliant on sound, like Distinct is.
Yeah.
Kasi he's a musician, diba? That's his whole gimmick.
Uh-huh.
He's like Elias, yes, diba? Like Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah.
Diba? Who comes out and does his thing. It's important that people understand what he's singing about.
Okay.
And I did it. So, it got lost on me. And it made me focus on the fact how nobody really remembers Unique anymore. So having a parody of Unique isn't really that unique. You know what I mean?
To be fair, when I saw the match card and I saw Distinct, I was like, bakit yun yung pangalan niya? And then it wasn't until the pictures came out and I was like, oh, it's a Unique parody.
Yeah, right? So I don't really remember who Unique is anymore. I feel like the Four of Spades and him aren't really in my recent memory, so recall isn't really as strong.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
If he did want to pull off a music gimmick, then there are other ways to do it.
No, to be fair, because the guy behind Distinct really is into music.
Yeah.
Obviously, he has skills.
Obviously, he can sing. I'm not knocking his guitar, musical skills. Right? Yeah. I'm not knocking his musical skills. I'm just critiquing the gimmick itself.
Mm-hmm.
What is the longevity of this gimmick, diba?
Hey, I mean, Elias made it work.
But he didn't really parody anybody, did he?
No. Yeah.
So I get what Gina's saying, yeah.
Okay, so that's really my only criticism. And of course, this musical number was interrupted by the maniac of Cell Block 9D, Lance Sinzik, who would tell him to keep quiet,
mm-hmm,
and shut up. And it's interesting because I've actually never heard Vlad on the mic before.
Okay.
It's one of the rare. It is actually the first time I've heard him on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been a video or two of him speaking, but as a live promo, this was the only one. He was actually very, very well mannered. I thought the maniac would be a lot more rabid than he sounded.
No, but he does sound guttural and like he sounds like a smoker.
Yeah, but he asked nicely at first, which was something I didn't think he was capable of.
Oh, okay.
Like I thought he'd just muscle buster him right then and there. But he asked nicely twice, and then on the third time he beat his ass up. So
Vlad was the good guy here.
Yeah, Vlad was the good guy here. Distinct was clearly the heel, and yeah.
All right. Next up, you had a handicap match between Imabayashi and the Yolo Twins, and it culminated in the reunion of MTNH.
Yeah, Ralph's forgiveness tour concludes with his return to the Yolo compound after he discovers in a video that, or after he lets Potch discover, rather, that Roderick Mahaba was being brainwashed by the Yolo Twins.
Now,
I found that video absolutely hilarious. I loved it. Okay, I loved it. Ralph Imabayashi calls out the Yolo Twins. He calls out Roderick Mahaba, who was the special ring announcer for that night.
Yeah.
Let's not dance over that. He did an excellent job. Not as Conyo, as Poch, and Rebel Ranger, but still very good.
Wow.
Still very good. So I like the drama that's being told. It's such a simple storyline. The storyline could have been played straightforward, where one guy just decides to leave the other guy for another group.
Yeah.
But to add a different twist to it, that to me speaks of creativity behind the booking scenes. So I really loved it. The match happens. Ralph actually had to fight a battle on two fronts. He had to take on the Yolo Twins in a match, and he also had to convince Roderick Mahaba to come back to his side.
Yeah.
Diba? Unfortunately, fighting battles on two fronts doesn't really work well for people.
Do you find Imabayashi to be sympathetic now? Like, yes. Is he someone you can actually get behind?
Yes, especially after the end of this match.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we'll see, as we saw rather during the show, Roderick Mahaba snaps out of his brainwashed state, Ralph asked him to come back, and they had this beautiful moment that caused such a pop in 500 Shaw. I said that was the loudest reaction I heard that night. Lahat ng tao kinilig when Roderick Mahaba started saying my partner again. It was just lahat ng tao, pati yung mga wrestlers na nanonood sa likod. I saw them, si Jay Serra kinikilig pala yung maangas na tao. Ang ganda. It was such a moment for everybody involved in that spot.
So was that, kasi you mentioned the crowd was a bit dead. Was that one of the moments in the buhay yung crowd?
Yes, that definitely was one of the moments that allowed the crowd to refocus on the succeeding matches, which were all very, very good. They were all killer matches.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else about Imabayashi and the Yolos and Roderick Mahaba?
Let's move on.
All right, you're going to have to forgive Chino. Obviously, he's pretty sick
pretty
right now.
Sick, yeah.
I mean, he's normally sick, but he is pretty sick right now.
I'm sick in other ways.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. That's why he said normally sick.
Clear. It's abundantly clear. Okay, next up, you had a tag team match between the OGs of Singapore in Andrew Tang and Trexus Onslaught and our PWOGs, JDL and Ken Warren.
Okay, I've never seen Trexus in real life before, but you guys saw Endgame, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen where Dax calls Thor a man?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call Trexus. Trexus is a man. Trexus is a man.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what a man looks like.
I agree.
he is a pirate angel.
Yeah.
That's what Trexus is. Right? He's just so jacked. It's ridiculous.
He's huge.
I thought Andrew Tan was jacked.
Uh-huh.
But then you see Trexus next to him, and it's ridiculous. The match itself, again, drew sporadic reactions, which was a shame, because it was such a good match. These guys just gave it their all. They were just beating each other senseless. There was this amazing spot I caught on video where Andrew Tan stood on Trexus' shoulders. Trexus, who was easily, 5'11"? 5'11"? 6 feet, maybe?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
Right? Around 6 feet tall, Andrew Tad stood on his shoulders and dived onto the PWOGs.
Outside, yes.
Outside the ring, which was insane. Yeah? I didn't even know that was possible. I thought Andrew Tad would hit the streamers. Yung pag-debut na nakasabit sa 500 show. I thought he would knock his head on that. Pero he did it. It was beautiful. The match was very, very good. Okay? I don't know what else to say. It was a shame that it just didn't get the pop that it needed.
Really? I thought it was like the loudest, the match in it, which the crowd sustained their energy for.
Yeah, I would have thought ngay.
Yeah, because on my side, again, I don't know where Ro was seated.
Well, I wouldn't know because I wasn't there.
No, I heard it.
It was very sporadic.
All right.
It was loud when it was loud,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't sustained.
Okay. How about JDL and Ken Warren? Like, how are they as a team in their second outing together?
You can't really... They've been through a lot as a team, diba? They've tried out together in Shanghai. They've faced adversaries in the YOLO Twins. So you can see that their chemistry was starting to develop more and more. And to have them face international competition in the Singapore OG's onslaught was actually the right thing for them to do. I like what JDL said the last time he was on this podcast, where he wanted the PWOGs to be the national team of the Philippines in terms of tag team wrestling.
Singilas natin.
Diba? They wanted to travel to different parts of the country. Diba? So in this sense, this was have been a home game. And it was very obvious from the start that the crowd had their backs.
We really, literally have to thank the WWE for this because they were the ones who put JDL and Ken Warren together.
Literally, it was it's a WWE-inspired tag team. It was so good.
Yeah. All right, next up, you had Mike Madrigal taking on the returning beautiful Billy Suede.
You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. International talent. I want to see more guys face international talent. I want to see more of our guys go abroad, get that experience, okay. Get that exposure. And even if they can't afford to travel for wrestling, it's nice when you have people like the beautiful one come to town and show what they have against guys like Mike Madrigal.
How was Billy in his return?
Diba? Billy was charismatic as ever. You miss his charisma. You miss how easy he pulls off moves, how smooth he does everything. I miss that about him, that smoothness, that suaveness that he carries himself with. Diba? And to go up against Mike Madrigal, who is just easily the snarkiest wrestler out there, who trash talks in your face, even when you put him in a submission hold. It was such a good contrast.
Was Billy a babyface here? Because I saw the IG story of him making his entrance and he was giving everybody high fives. And I know that Mike Madrigal has been on a face turn recently. So did they switch alignments here?
I feel like this was a face versus face scenario. It's one of those rare occurrences because people were cheering for them on both sides. Now, again, granted, no sustained cheers. However, I feel like both of them, at the end of the day, were faces. They both deserved the cheers that they got because they both worked for it.
All right. Anything else on
Billy
this
Suede
match?
Put up one hell of a fight. Mike Madrigal was certainly up to the challenge this night.
Okay. How were the fans towards Billy Suede? Like, were there people who were there to catch him for the first time?
Filipinos were always we are always welcoming, diba? We're always welcoming all foreigners and foreign Filipino visitors to come to town, diba? So good on the fans for especially those who've only seen Billy Suede once ever or haven't seen him ever to welcome him with open arms because they were in for such a treat that night and they're going to be in for an even bigger treat when Billy Suede challenges Chino Guillermo for the PHX Championship in Homecoming.
All right. Are we ready to talk about the main event?
Let's dive right into it.
Okay, Chris Panzer versus Cuatro for the PWR title.
This match is already good enough on paper, I feel like. If you put their resumes next to each other, it's going to look very identical in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Diba? They both look very good. Diba? And it's a first time meeting between the Demonio Chris Panzer and the Lightbringer. Diba? They all came out with unique entrances. Mm-hmm. It had a big fight feel.
Did the promo help, that promo package which was released online?
It helved. It helped drive the hype of the match. Unfortunately, because of technical difficulties, hindi nila napakita.
Yeah, yeah, I heard about
that. In 500 Shaw, mm-hmm. which was a shame because I would have loved to see it, to have seen it again.
Yep.
However, kasi may mga hindi pa nakakapanood eh.
Yeah.
People who just showed up.
Sayang na, sayang.
Sayang naman yun, diba? But even without the promo, it still had a big fight feel. It still made people believe that this was important.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for those of you who've seen the promo, yeah, it helped. But for those of you who didn't, you'd still understand why this was important.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think about the match as it happened and the result?
The match was, like I said, the match was good on its own. People were showing, both of these guys showed up to put on the show for the fans. It was such a powder keg of emotions between Quattro and Panzer, who have been going at it back and forth again and again, social media, on the video, on promos, etc. So to see them come to an end, even in such a lackluster venue, mm-hmm. it was still very good to see.
Was it a main event that felt like a main event?
It really did. It really did feel like a main event.
Uh-huh.
Diba? This is what I was saying in the earlier in the review, when people were just doing their thing despite having not the best venue for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best example in this match. Unfortunately, bad news for everybody, the match ended in a draw.
Mm-hmm.
Both shoulders were pinned after a superplex. But good news for everybody, we get a triple threat in Homecoming.
Yeah, so it's going to be Quattro defending against both Chris Panzer and Jeff Cobb in a three-way match.
What did you expect anyway? I mean, going into this match.
I actually expected it to be a clean victory for either side.
Okay.
Whether who would win, I really couldn't say. Mm-hmm. I will say this, however, and this is not a knock against the refereeing, but the refereeing in this matchup was very perplexing. Because midway through the fight, the referee in charge got knocked out. Shenanigans happen. He gets back up, but then for some reason, Main Max dives right in to tell him to step out.
Yeah.
During the middle of the match, during the middle of a pinfall, Main Max jumps in and tells the referee, "Hey, weren't you just knocked down?"
Mm-hmm.
So it felt very disorganized. It wasn't very well told as to why they had to change referees.
Okay.
Especially since the second ref got up. Mm-hmm. Diba? Mm-hmm. I really don't care for matches that aren't explained properly. Like it's one of the gripes. I'm not saying spoon feed me the information. I'm saying if you're going to execute something like a draw as your finish, please make it clear.
Make it make sense.
Make it make sense to the audience watching. Kasi kahit yung ibang tao, hindi nila nalagets kung ba't kailangan palitan yung referee.
All right. Sige.
I didn't have a problem with the ending.
Okay.
I just had a problem with how it got there.
All right.
You know that.
Sige. So let's zoom out now and let's talk about the show as a whole. Did it do its job in setting up Homecoming, and what overall grade would you give Beautiful?
My thing with the Homecoming is, while there are a lot of matches that take place within the canon, the current storyline of PWR, there are also a lot of matches that people wouldn't necessarily expect, like Ralph versus Calinueva, the YOLO twins suddenly getting a tag team title shot out of nowhere. These are things that I actually didn't expect to come out. I don't know why they're getting these matches, why we're getting these matches. It wasn't explained to us in any sort of storyline. I would have loved to see a continuation of the MTNH saga with the YOLO twins. I would have loved to see Cali Nueva get another shot at the PHX Championship.
Right.
Or maybe Chino Quinto defend against a foreign visitor, di ba?
Well, technically he is against Billy Swain.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. That's fair. Pero to have a lot of jumbled up matches, parang it doesn't make sense to be booking wise.
Okay.
But it's like a showcase for a showcase.
Okay. And is that a problem?
I feel like it's better off for people to see continuations of storylines.
Okay.
Rather than just get showcases. Yes, I guess it's best foot forward. But as a fan of storytelling, it doesn't really do justice.
Okay.
All right. So what's the overall grade for Beautiful?
This is not a knock against PWR or the product
we get it.
The team.
Hey, I just got to say, constructive criticism is still a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man.
And it is something that has always been welcome on this podcast.
I'm going to give Beautiful the letter it starts with, B.
Okay.
All right. Solid B.
I was expecting a harsher grade, but
yeah. Okay. A solid B. Because it's unfair to drag it lower because there were such amazing moments on the card, diba? Billy Swain came back.
Yeah.
We got to see Onslaught. Empty and H made its big return. However, all in all, this whole show was plagued with so many problems that it was just amazing how everybody just pulled together, to see everything come to fruition.
All right. Any other thoughts that you have on the entire show, or you want to get to the awards?
Let's get to the awards. My star of the night, it actually goes out to Cali Nueva.
Hey, he's never going to shut up about that now.
Yep.
I remember him tweeting about how people never give him awards. So here you go, Cali Nueva.
So you gave him an award just because he didn't get awards?
No, he also did a good job. Despite that, he also did a good job.
Well, so we're never going to hear the end of it.
So kudos, Cali Nueva.
And what was your spot of the night?
The spot of the night goes to the return of MTNH.
Okay, yeah.
Which
okay,
is fair. Deserving because it lost the pop.
And who was part of your match of the night?
My match of the night actually has to go to PWOG's taking on Onslaught.
That's fair.
All right. So there you have it, our review for PWR Live Beautiful. Chino, halatang strained name bosses mo, so we'll let you take a break before we close this thing out.
Yeah, let's just do that. I don't have words anymore. It was a good show. You guys take this review however you want it.
Thanks again, Chino, for reviewing PWR Live Beautiful. Of course, we got to end the podcast with our picks of the week. I'm going to start with mine. From WWE Manila, it has to be Brian versus Kofi. Yun talaga yung... dahilan na nagbumiyahe ako from Las Piñas to get to fucking Araneta. It's to watch Daniel Bryan in my home country, and it did not disappoint. I loved it.
Yeah, it did not disappoint.
Yeah, that was pretty much the reason why I wanted to go then as well.
Yeah, totally worth it. Worth it yung pag-squeeze in along with the Madlang people on the MRT just to watch Daniel Bryan. My dad and I loved it. So yeah.
It was so good. I was hoping the whole show that they would be the ones to come out and really work the entire night.
And they did.
And they did not disappoint. Yeah, that's right. They came to play.
It was also cool how we were basically the petri dish for Bryan's babyface turn, which we saw on SmackDown this week.
We saw hints of his babyfaceness during the match, where he kept shaking Kofi's hand, restarting.
It's not like it's a new thing. I mean,
I think this was a lot closer to the American Dragon.
It was pretty stock Bryan.
Yeah.
Stock face Brian from the indie days.
Yeah, nakakatawa siya kasi it got to the point that it got reported on the dirt sheets, and then it did lead to the events of SmackDown from a few hours earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So there. And then from WWE TV, I'll pick Oney Lorcan versus Leo Rush on NXT. I really love this new NXT. There's more time, so that means we're getting more matches, and it makes me relive yung 2013-2014 NXT na parang there are at least two really good TV matches. And with more time on the show, with this stacked roster, we're gonna get that a lot.
Mm.
My pick of the week also comes from NXT. It's the first match we see in this new iteration of NXT. It's the Women's Fatal 4-Way between Mia Yim, Bianca Belair, who else was this? Io Shirai, Candice LeRae. Right.
Who won the match?
Who ends up winning and is going to face Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's title. I love it because it's such a great example to start off with. Like, if this is your first time watching NXT as a casual fan, this will show you that it isn't like any traditional format of WWE TV that is out there. It's different, it is raw, it is in your face, and it's just such a killer match.
All right.
What's your second one?
My second pick coming from the live shows actually comes from the WWE after party hosted okay. by the guys.
Okay.
And the reason I picked this is because Cuatro took the whole thing. So, mapapanood siya sa Cuatro TV soon. Okay? It's Redrick Mahava giving love advice to AB3. He took the whole thing. He took the whole thing. So, lalabas siya sa Cuatro TV soon.
Okay.
And apparently that advice worked.
Oh, yeah.
I think it did, yeah.
Because later in the weekend, hey. We did see something.
Hey.
When we say never miss a show, this is what we mean, right? This is what we mean right here.
Congratulations to the Love Lord, AB3.
Mr. Romantically Stable, AB3.
Now, poor Kali Nueva.
All right, Ro, what's on your
pick? All right, my pick from the live show is Ali versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the Intercontinental Championship. Really good. Ali, also one of the guys I wanted to see live, as well as Nakamura. And I'm also glad that they did not disappoint. Right. If you... I understand you were not able to see this.
Yeah, I was really hoping na mabutan ko yun, but... Thanks, Friday Night Traffic.
Yep. Okay, next is from the Destruction in Kobe, New Japan show from last Sunday. It is the finals of the Young Lions Cup between Shooter and Carl Fredericks of the LA Dojo.
Shooter!
So the thing about this match is that the moveset is restricted because they're the Young Lions and they're not allowed to do a lot of the fancy stuff. So the thing about it is that they have to rely on the fundamentals and they have to rely on doing it well. So a lot of that was that the two of them put out a main roster caliber match despite the restrictions placed on them.
All right, there you go. Our picks of the week. Now let's get to some upcoming events. First up, you've got Quiz Night. That is taking place next week, October 2 at 7 p.m.
Yes.
It's going to be at Skinny Mike Sports Bar. So if you want to be part of Wrestling Quiz Night once again, we are bringing it back. Quizlemania 3, the return of the comeback. Tickets are at 300 pesos and it's inclusive of one free drink. And up for grabs, you can win yourself silver tickets to PWR Homecoming. And you can also win some WWE action figures. Those are up for grabs. So we're going to change things up this year. What's different is you can join as an individual if you think na sobrang talino mo na you can outsmart everybody all on your own. You're free to do that. If you want to compete as a tag team, pwede rin. If you want to be a trio like the New Day, pwede rin. Or if you want to be like the Four Horsemen, go right ahead. So it can be the teams can be, you know, individual, a pair, a trio, or a team of four.
Mm-hmm.
So Raf Gamas has agreed to host Quizlemania 3.
That is the most entertainment you can expect.
Yeah, pretty much. So let's see what shenanigans Camus will be putting himself up for at the bar.
How many times will people tell Camus to shut up?
I think they won't because he'll be reading out the questions.
Yep.
So they kind of need him to keep yapping.
Yeah, I mean, post-mortem shut up.
Like, yes, I guess. Post-question. Yeah. So, yeah, you have that. You also have Homecoming, of course, which is happening on October 12th. Tickets are still available on tickettome.net, or you can order via the Facebook page, facebook.com/phwrestlingrevo. You can email pwr.tickets@gmail.com or simply message any member of the roster. We still have discounted tickets. We've got bundles for 3, for 5, pretty much anything you need. We've got the answers to your questions. So, you know your main event, TJP, JDL, the Dream Match. You've got the PWR Championship situation already sorted out. Jeff Cobb, Chris Panzer, and Cuatro. And you've got beautiful Billy Suede challenging Chino Ginto for the PHX Championship along with a stacked and loaded card from PWR. Anything else na we got to plug or promote?
That's about it, I think.
Chino, anything from your end?
We're all good.
All right. So if you have any questions or reactions or comments about the constructive criticism from Chino Liao, you can at him at Chino Supersized or at the podcast at the SGP Podcast.
Wait, weren't we supposed to drop something huge at the end of the show?
Yeah, that's true. So now we are on this new network that has provided us with such wonderful equipment to make us sound good.
Mm-hmm.
I think do we say it? Do we tell the people?
We might as well. So right. By next week, when the beautiful one joins us in the studio, you will know the podcast by a different name.
Yes, I think you already know what to call the new podcast.
Makotas tayo.
No need for a contest because I think
Bronze tickets to homecoming.
No man.
No, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that because it's pretty obvious by now what the new name's gonna be. If you are an avid listener for the past month or so,
yep.
You know what it's about to be.
Yeah, so we're going to get a new name, new logo, probably find us on a new server, and you'll find us still on pretty much every platform that you found us on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, or you know any of the other podcatchers that you can find the SGP Podcast. So it's been a great run doing this independently for the past 6 years, I would say.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's nice to be part of the podcast network umbrella. So thank you very much to everybody for putting the faith in us, and we're looking forward to be part of the podcast network family. Special shout out to our producer Ryan Cardenas, who's taking care of this, and shout out to everyone else who's been really supportive of the podcast pretty much since day one.
Actually, we need you now more than ever. That we're here on this network, we need you a lot more. We need your support even more every week, every month, every day that you listen to the podcast. Whether you are stuck in traffic, whether you need us to tide you over at work,
or if you need something to listen to when you're taking a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
The way I watch Balibagan.
Right. Stop giving them shout outs.
So you give us a download, leave us a 5-star rating, subscribe to us, share us on social media, let people know na ay podcast na wrestling they exist. Yeah, those really go a long way.
Wow, how on the nose can you get?
Yeah, what? It's pretty much obvious. It's right there.
So those are all the ways that you can help us, really. We don't even have a Patreon. We don't give you exclusive content and all that jazz. So all we really ask is that you subscribe, you leave a comment, leave us a good rating, you share the podcast, you download the episode, and you play it. Right?
That's right.
So on behalf of the team behind the SGP Podcast, our friends at Podcast Network Asia, and my co-hosts, the indisposed Raf Gamos.
Who, by the way, is not leaving the show just because he's not here and we're under a new network.
Yeah, no. We're not kicking Gamos out.
Wow, I like how you had to bring
No,
up.
Because people have asked me on Curious Cat to get rid of Kamos. No, I'm serious. And we cannot get rid of Kamos. Not because
Kamos is an integral part
exactly,
of the show.
Yeah, exactly. We want him on the show.
Yeah, we need him on the show.
We need somebody to shut up. So.
Well, yes, there's that. Plus, sayang yung recording ni Xavier Woods.
Oh, tama.
When he tells Kamos to shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
And on behalf of Chino Liao, who is still recovering from whatever illness he's got.
I have a ton. I have 100 illnesses going on in my body that and live symbiotically against each other.
Wow.
All right.
That cost me to live.
All right, Venom.
Okay. And on behalf of Romaran, my name is Stancy, saying thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week for the rebranded podcast featuring the beautiful one, Billy Sway.
Peace.
Astigo matake, Kendrick and Marky, galawan ay swabe, datingan ay grabe. Malamang ang lamang, sisikat pato sa araw, boy. Tag team sobrang init, para nag-aapoy. May kalalagyan pag pinilit mo pa ang yung tapang. Hospital lang.